Oh, I think that's absolutely right. I think that families and service providers are very concerned about abuse. And it's certainly true that this group of people are very vulnerable to sexual exploitation and abuse. I think the problem, though, is that the very protection that we put in place leaves people vulnerable. So if we don't provide people with information about sexuality, if we don't provide people with information about relationships, it's very hard for them to then judge what is a good relationship. Mm. And also, if you are told repeatedly that you can't have a relationship or that you shouldn't, then and you want one, then you go out and have one.
Regardless of what people are saying, yeah. So what do you think needs to be done?
In Australia, we've looked at policies, government policies, which try to both protect people but also provide them with rights around sexuality and relationships. It's been a long, slow process. Governments are very anxious about this kind of issue, as are organisations and families. However, I do think in the state in which I lived, we've come to probably a better policy than we've had before. I think that in Ireland, and I'm very hesitant about saying things about Ireland, I haven't been here terribly long, but one of the things that I think is a great concern to the people I've been working with is the legislation that you currently have here. Because at the moment, that legislation, which is in the Crimes Act, can actually prevent people with intellectual disabilities having a sexual relationship together. It's designed to protect them from abuse, but in fact, the wording of it, it can be read, and I think probably is read, as preventing a sexual relationship between two people with intellectual disability. Now, nobody's ever been charged under this legislation, as far as I know, but having that legislation means that service providers and agencies are very, very wary about this issue.
Mm. So basically the law criminalises sexual activity between people with intellectual disabilities.
Yes, it does. If they are judged as not being able to live an independent life, but you could argue that anyone who uses a service is not living an independent life.
Mm.
The Law Reform Commission here has come up with a set of recommendations to decriminalise sexual relationships between consenting people with intellectual disability. And I really think that that probably needs to be, you know, sort of put into practice.
To be worked on, yeah. And what about, you mentioned about people having children. I mean, is that an area of concern?
Well, I guess it's from which perspective you're looking at it. Mm. I think people with intellectual disabilities are often judged as one sort of homogenous group. In fact, they're a very diverse group of people, both in terms of their disabilities, but also in terms of their interests, abilities, their life desires. Some people want to have children. Other people, colleagues and friends of mine in Australia, have chosen not to. But it is very difficult for people to have children, and it's very difficult for them to keep their children once they have them. I think that owes a lot to our attitudes to people with intellectual disability. We do need to put supports in place, as we do for the rest of us who are parents. Parenting isn't easy. And some of the issues for people with intellectual disabilities who become parents have absolutely nothing to do with their disability. They've got to do with poverty. They've got to do with isolation. They've got to do with the lack of good support services for them. It's an issue of concern to parents who are sometimes very anxious about their son or daughter having a child because they fear that they might not be able to care for the child, or that the parents will end up
raising the child. Yeah.
And you know, I think they're real anxieties, but I do think as a community we need to be ready to support people when they do have children.
Mm.
And you can't stop people either having sex or having children, and I don't think we should be really stopping people when they have got the desire and can consent.
What about people who can't give consent? Maybe people who have severe intellectual disabilities and really can't make that type of decision.
Yes, I think that that's an important issue. I'm not arguing that everybody should have or can have a sexual relationship. What I am arguing, I think, is that we are, as human beings, sexual beings. And that at some level, probably, most of us have some sexual need for sexual expression. I think if people are unable to give informed consent, then clearly there is a duty of care from those around them to make sure that they are protected from abuse. But I also think there's a problem when we tend to see people as asexual, as not having any sexual desire. We need to start from the perspective that people may have some sexuality and that we need to address that.